one of the facts that we've been looking at when it comes to sexual misconduct is the complexity of it. You know, it would almost seem, if we didn't really think it through, that there's nothing complex about sexual misconduct. It's cut and dry. It's really not so cut and dry, though, as it may seem to be, if we just look at it on the surface and don't really think through what's going on. For example, it may be tempting for a lot of people to just assume that sexual misconduct is all about sexual harassment. And when people think about sexual harassment, they would automatically, basically because of the way we've been trained to think, they would just automatically assume that sexual harassment has to do with males in one way or another sexually assaulting females. Is that the case, though? Is that what it's about? We talked about sexual objectifying, where someone makes a sexual object out of someone else. And when we think about making someone a sexual object, again, because of the way the conversation has been framed over the decades, it's easy to assume that when you talk about making a sexual object out of someone, this is always a case where males are looking at females as sexual objects. They're not thinking about their value as a human. They're not thinking about what's going on with regards to their brains, their minds, the beauty of their intelligence. They're not thinking about what that person can contribute to society as far as being a professional on whatever level. They're not thinking about any of that. They're looking at this human being and seeing someone with whom it may be fun to have sex. And if not to have sex, at the very least, to enjoy thinking about this person. I mean, just enjoying looking at this person with lust in the heart, lust in the mind, literally lust in the brain. I don't know how many of you had a chance to hear Dr. Timothy Jennings talking about pornography and its connection with the brain, but lust of the brain. And we just automatically, so many people just automatically assume that when you have that going on, you're talking about males looking upon females with lust. And that oversimplifies the issue. That grossly oversimplifies the issue. Think about what we know, and we'll realize that is a tremendous oversimplification. We know for a fact, for example, that there are plenty of women who look upon men, and when they're looking at them, they are not thinking, wow, that person is truly an intelligent man. Or boy, because girls and women, young adults, teens, lust, whether male or female. They lust. Not all do, but many do. Many look at someone else as a potential sex object, a potential sex partner, whether they're even dating or not, a potential sex partner. Or at the very least, someone who's physical features are so appealing that the folks like at least enjoying looking at those curves and seeing as many curves as they can possibly see, drinking in all those curves that they can and imagining while they're looking at the curves, all of the curves that they can see and imagining curves that they don't see. So I'm just saying, in the real world, now this is a program where from the very beginning, it's been about real talk about real life, how we really live, real talk about the real world. And in the real world, not only do you have a lot of males who look at females with lust in their eyes, but you also have a lot of females who look at a lot of males with lust in their eyes. The females have just as big a problem with lust as the males do. In the same way males are looking at curves, females are looking at curves. In the same way males imagine some of the curves that they don't see with their eyes, females imagine some of the curves that they don't see with their eyes. All of this contributes to sexual misconduct. It starts with what's happening in the mind. All of it does. And for many, male and female, once they begin to think about those curves that they do see and to think about the curves that they don't see, many will begin to develop a desire to experience sex with, whether it's that person or someone else, whether they're married or not. And you have various people, depending on their personality, who are going to approach it in any number of ways. Some people, whether male or female, are very, very bold about expressing their desire to have sex. And you have plenty of men and you have plenty of women who would just come on out and state it very clearly, make it clear with their words, this is what they want. Then you have others, though, who will try to just send signals. And I think that this is something that you probably have more men than women who will just be outspoken, honest about what they're thinking. And they'll probably be more candid about their interest in having sex. But you have women who do that, too. And that's probably picking up. Plenty of women, plenty of females who will make it clear that's what they want. And there's nothing new. It's been going on for decades. We've just had a lot of dishonesty about the discussion, about the conversation. And for whatever reason, the position has been that if anyone is thinking about sex, it's going to be the male. That's not in the real world. In the real world, males and females think about sex a lot. A lot. And some who are married may not think about having sex with their spouses a lot, but they do think about sex a lot. And some of them just choose very unwisely and very unfortunately to experience their sexual fulfillment with people other than their spouse. Males and females are like that. And so I was talking about the signals. Very often, not only do you have females who will just be point blank about the fact that they want to have sex with you, but you also have a lot of females who will just send out signals through body language, through the way they touch themselves, the way they position their bodies, even opening their legs to put their crotches on display. Signals that a lot of females will send out without just saying point blank, I want to have sex with you. That still contributes to sexual misconduct. Yep, that still contributes to sexual misconduct. Because whether we are just very candid about our interest or whether we send out signals and hope that the other person will pick up the ball and run with it, it still contributes to sexual misconduct. And so as long as we're only trying to deal with the question of how we get more and more men to stop looking at females as objects and stop harassing them sexually in the workplace, and that's our single focus, we're messing up. Yeah, we are messing up. We're missing too much. We're overlooking too much. We're dismissing too much. No, we need to be aware of the fact. We need to be, in fact, just as aware of the fact that females have strong interest in sex, including illicit sex, troublesome sex, heartbreaking sex that can cause trouble for marriages, as men do. But it doesn't stop there. I think you're beginning to catch on, you're beginning to pick up on just how complex sexual misconduct is. Let's continue to dive in.